No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. We all can't help but wonder what adventure lies just over the next ridge. A Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada will take you there. If you're taking on your adventure in a new 2024 Nissan Rogue, class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue. Nissan's SUV has the capabilities to take you where you want to go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeartRadio, and how the tech are ya? It's time for a Tech Stuff Tidbits. And recently, my colleague, Joe McCormick, who is a co-host on Stuff to Blow Your Mind. He's also a former writer for the Forward Thinking video series, and he was also a co-host on the accompanying podcast with me back in the day. He reached out to me and asked if I had ever done an episode about the terahertz gap, and I had not, and figured it'd be a perfect candidate for a Tech Stuff Tidbits episode. So, what the heck is the terahertz gap? Well, it has to do with the electromagnetic spectrum. Now, this is the distribution of all the different kinds of electromagnetic energy, from radio waves to visible light to stuff like gamma radiation. All of that is energy that falls along the electromagnetic spectrum. And we describe energy on this spectrum in a couple of different ways, really three ways. Namely, we describe it by the energy's wavelength of the individual waves of that particular energy, its frequency, which is related to the wavelength, and also in terms of photonic energy, kind of like how much oomph this radiation has, which is also related to wavelength and frequency. So wavelength, as the name implies, describes how long that specific kind of energy's waves are. So we can think of this energy as traveling in waves. If we want to get quantum with it, we can also think of it as traveling in like particles, but we're not going to get into quantum mechanics quite yet. So when we talk about wavelength, we are talking about a measurable distance. So if we were to plot out a wavelength, kind of like a sine wave on graph paper, we would measure the distance from the peak of one wave to the peak of the next wave. Now, these go into an incredible range of wavelengths. If we look at something like the extremely low frequency band of radio waves, that includes wavelengths that are up to 100,000 kilometers long. So 100,000 kilometers of wavelength. Now, on the flip side of the electromagnetic spectrum, we have gamma radiation. The wavelength for a gamma wave is unimaginably tiny, like a few tenths of an angstrom. And an angstrom is 1/10 billionth of a meter. So we're talking about a scale that's an order smaller than a nanometer. A nanometer is 1/1 billionth of a meter. So gamma waves are really, really, really small. Frequency on the electromagnetic spectrum, on the other hand, describes how many wavelengths of a particular type of energy passes a certain point in a given amount of time. Now, the unit we use is the hertz, and 1 hertz would be equivalent to a single wavelength taking a full second to pass a given point. Even if we were to look at the extremely low frequency side of the spectrum, where we have those super, super long wavelengths, like 100,000 kilometer long waves, we're talking about a frequency of 3 hertz at this point, which would mean that 3 of those waves would pass any given point in a single second. Now, all of these energies are traveling at the same speed. So none of them are going faster than another. A radio wave moves at the same speed as a gamma wave. They're all moving at the speed of light. I mean, light is part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So gamma rays do not move faster than radio waves, but because gamma rays are so incredibly small and radio waves are so incredibly long, a whole lot more gamma radiation is going to pass a given point in a second than radio radiation. The analogy I like to use is imagine that you have 2 lanes on a highway, and in the right lane is a line of buses, and they're essentially traveling bumper to bumper at 50 miles per hour. In the left lane, you have a line of itty bitty smart cars. They're also traveling bumper to bumper. They're also traveling at 50 miles per hour. And we put you at a certain point on the highway, we give you a stopwatch, and we tell you to count how many buses pass by you in a span of, let's say, 10 seconds. So over 10 seconds, you count the number of buses that pass your point. Then we have you do the same thing, but now you're counting the smart cars that pass you. Well, you're obviously going to count way more smart cars than you will buses in those 10 seconds, because multiple smart cars can fit in the same physical space as a single bus. So yeah, the vehicles are all traveling at the same speed, but the size of the vehicle, which relates to the length of a wave, means that you're going to get way more of the smaller ones than the bigger ones in the same amount of time. As for photonic energy, that also increases as wavelengths decrease and frequencies increase. So gamma radiation packs way more of an energetic punch than, say, an extremely low frequency radio wave. Now, over time, we've learned how to harness many of the frequencies that are in the electromagnetic spectrum in order to do specific kinds of stuff. And there's some messy overlaps, and definitions largely depend upon the source. So while I can give you ranges for different types of electromagnetic energy and say, like, oh, it ranges from this wavelength to this wavelength, or this frequency to this frequency, different definitions can actually have a different starting place and a different ending place. So it gets a little difficult. For example, you could argue that radio waves range in frequency from 3 hertz to 30 billion hertz, or 30 gigahertz. But that actually overlaps with what is broadly considered the microwave range of frequencies, which according to the most common definitions go from 1 gigahertz, or 1 billion hertz, up to 100 billion hertz, or 100 gigahertz in frequency. So there you would see there's some overlap, right? Between 1 and 30 gigahertz, you would have overlap between the microwave range and the radio range. By the way, we could also say that the microwave range corresponds with wavelengths that are between 300 millimeters to 3 millimeters. Remember, as the wavelength goes down, the frequency goes up, and vice versa. Now, let's talk about terahertz and the terahertz gap. So tera, in this instance, refers to trillion in the metric system. So if we go by the different prefixes that we typically use in this realm, kilo means 1,000. So a kilohertz is 1,000 hertz. Mega refers to 1 million. Megahertz would be 1 million hertz. Giga is 1 billion. We already mentioned that. And then tera is 1 trillion. So an electromagnetic energy with a frequency of 1 terahertz would mean you would have 1 trillion wavelengths of this energy pass a given spot in 1 second. Now, there's a section of the electromagnetic spectrum that sits between the microwave range of spectrums and where infrared begins. And it starts at around 0.1 terahertz in frequency, or around 3 millimeters if we're looking at wavelength, and it goes up to around 10 terahertz, or 30 micrometers in wavelength. And even that is a little fuzzy, right? Like, it all depends on your point of view and what you're talking about and how we're talking about harnessing terahertz frequencies. But it's in this little section of radiation tucked between microwaves and infrared where we haven't quite really harnessed the energy to its fullest potential. So we can use microwaves to do stuff like set up communication systems, or I mean, you could use them to heat up food in a microwave oven, or potentially you could use them as a means of transmitting energy to distant receptors for stuff like, say, space elevators. You wouldn't be generating energy this way. It would literally be you generate energy in one spot, or, you know, I guess you're not technically generating, but you're harnessing energy in one spot, transmitting it over distance with microwaves and receiving it in some distant spot. So it's a basic like antenna kind of approach, but you're talking about energy, not communications. You're not modulating the signal for that purpose. We can leverage infrared to create systems that let us see in what would otherwise be darkness. You know, thermal vision works in this way where we can see thermal energy, which is infrared energy, or we can use infrared to create all sorts of kinds of heating elements, and there's even like infrared lasers and things of that nature. And then, of course, later on, we have the visible light spectrum, which a lot of us rely upon every single day directly. And obviously, a ton of our technology is centered on generating or exploiting visible light. And then at higher frequencies, we have stuff like X-rays, which we've leveraged for medical imaging and more. But this little band of about 0.1 terahertz to 10 terahertz has proven to be a little more tricky for us to lean on. I'll explain more after we come back from this quick break.
No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I can't fly without my portable chargers and noise-canceling headphones keeping me immersed, and I'd be lost without my smartphone. In a new place, it's my connection to the familiar. I rely on it to get directions around town, I use my smartphone to look up things to do, or, most importantly, where to eat. In countries where I don't speak the language, my phone becomes a universal translator. And heck, it can double as a digital camera, giving me the opportunity to snap unforgettable pictures of the sights that inspire me and fill me with joy. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
A spirit of adventure lives inside of us. Nissan's SUVs have the capabilities to transform your spirit of adventure into actual rubber meets the road into the wild, true blue, real life adventure. You just need a Nissan and a plan. Or better yet, just a Nissan. You can hop into a Nissan Rogue and discover what comes next. Don't worry, the Nissan Rogue has your back. Class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Just climb in and go. No need to connect your phone. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the new 2024 Nissan Rogue. No matter where you roam, you'll stay connected to home. Life is one huge adventure, and every day is a little one. No matter if the ride you're on is big or small, a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada can elevate your adventure and push your limits to something new. Your next adventure is waiting for you. Get in a Nissan SUV and go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
All right, let's think of it this way. This range of frequencies in the electromagnetic spectrum kind of represents a zone that exists between the world of electronics and the world of optics. Optics obviously being technology that deals with light in some way. And in the realm of tech, you can almost think of it as kind of a no man's land, at least for broad technology. It's like a dead zone. This is the terahertz gap. So we can rely on technology like high-speed transistors and oscillating circuits to create lower frequency electromagnetic radiation. So this would be like microwaves and radio waves and that kind of stuff. We can use electronics to do that. For the higher frequency stuff, we can use semiconductor lasers to produce that kind of radiation from, you know, visible light all the way up to X-rays. But between these two, we have that dang terahertz gap. And the range in the terahertz gap is one where we can't really produce those frequencies using either of those primary methods. We have to go with other methods. And I could rattle off those methods, but honestly, it would start to sound like science fiction. You know, words like quantum would be coming up. And the point being that they aren't your run-of-the-mill approaches to creating electromagnetic radiation. It's the type of stuff you find in super high-tech laboratories. However, this doesn't mean that no one has any idea regarding how we might exploit terahertz radiation in the future. In fact, it's a pretty rich area of research among physicists, and it's something that astronomers and cosmologists already use in order to study the universe. So labs around the world have discovered various methodologies for generating terahertz frequencies or for, you know, detecting terahertz radiation, but these are exceptions and so far have not evolved to a point where we could, say, scale them up and mass produce them or make efficient use of them where it would make sense to start using that technology for, broader purposes. For these very specific narrow purposes, where you're talking about laboratory research, you know, like cutting edge research, it makes sense there because you could be hitting some incredible breakthroughs that you otherwise wouldn't without the technology. But for practical everyday use, it doesn't yet make sense. We haven't cracked that code yet. And that's not to say there's a lack of interest there, but there are certain properties of terahertz frequency energies that kind of limit their applicability. So for example, the Earth's atmosphere is pretty darn good at absorbing electromagnetic radiation in that terahertz gap range of frequencies. So we're talking about these forms of radiation able to travel maybe a couple dozen meters before they get absorbed by the atmosphere. So that makes this band of electromagnetic energy unsuitable for stuff like, say, terrestrial communication systems, because you would have to put your transmitters and your receivers so close together, you might as well just start shouting out the window. Now, you could potentially create short-distance networking systems that used terahertz radiation to transmit data. Like, if you wanted to make an indoor Wi-Fi network, that's something that this technology could potentially do. Most of the devices we rely on for wireless networks have a fairly limited range already, so it's not like that would be unusual to us. And you could potentially have a terahertz radiation-based indoor Wi-Fi system that was super high throughput if we found a way to generate terahertz frequencies that was cost-effective and efficient. Now, on top of that, liquid water will absorb terahertz radiation, so there's no real application where we could use it for anything that would involve water. Ditto for metals. It is highly reflected off of metals. So you could say there's some limited use cases for terahertz radiation for things like communications. However, there are other properties that this energy has that are potentially of huge benefit. And in fact, it's being used in that way in some limited cases. So for example, these frequencies are capable of penetrating some types of matter, including body tissue to a certain degree. That makes them kind of like X-rays, but unlike X-rays, terahertz radiation is non-ionizing. So that means it doesn't have that photonic energy that would be required to, say, strip electrons from their atoms. So X-rays are an ionizing form of radiation. One of the consequences of this is that exposure to X-rays can cause cellular damage. This ionizing radiation can damage cells, and you can lead to serious things like cancer. The energy in the terahertz gap lacks that ionizing capability, so it would be much more safe to use for medical imaging. However, because the wavelengths in this frequency band are longer than X-rays, remember, higher the frequency, the shorter the wavelength. So this is a lower frequency, longer wavelength energy. And, you know, it's actually even longer than visible light. Visible light is a higher frequency than the terahertz gap. That means if we were to use devices that generated electromagnetic waves in this gap band for the purposes of imaging, for medical purposes, we would actually end up with lower resolution pictures than we would if we were to use X-rays. The wavelengths are literally too large to give us the same resolution we would get with an X-ray. So we would have to develop methods to enhance the image quality that we would get from these terahertz technologies if, in fact, we were to start using them for medical imaging. Another potential use for terahertz radiation is to examine non-conducting materials because, like I said, it can penetrate paper, plastic, wood, ceramics, and cardboard. So water and metals are out, but this other stuff is totally in. So theoretically, we could build this technology that could be used to scan for stuff like prohibited materials, like weapons or, you know, biologically hazardous materials. And it could even be a remote system. You could use terahertz radiation to scan someone remotely. The radiation itself would be harmless. And as long as you weren't too far away where the terahertz radiation would be absorbed by the atmosphere, you could scan folks safely and remotely. Astronomers have actually been using terahertz frequency detection for a while now to measure stuff like the cosmic microwave background radiation. That in turn is connected to the earliest moments of our universe, kind of like the moments after expansion or even during expansion. So it's kind of like being able to peer back into the earliest days of the universe, like the evolution of the universe in the early times after the first instant. And we might use terahertz radiation in the future to do stuff like improve manufacturing processes. You could build machines that use terahertz scanning to look for flaws in manufactured components, for example. But in order to do all that, we first have to create technologies that can generate terahertz radiation without relying on the super advanced tech that you'd only find in sophisticated physics labs. And we're just not there yet, though there's been a lot of experimentation in the space. My guess is that the terahertz gap is a temporary thing. It's really just a way for us to say there's this one band of frequencies within the electromagnetic spectrum that we'll probably end up relying on heavily in the future for all sorts of applications. But first, we have to find scalable and economic ways to create the tech that generates those frequencies. So it's really just a matter of time. But that's what the terahertz gap is and what that means. So if you have suggestions for future Tech Stuff tidbits topics, or really any other tech-based topic, reach out to me on Twitter. The handle we use for the show is TechStuffHSW, and I'll talk to you again really soon.
Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. We all can't help but wonder what adventure lies just over the next ridge. A Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada will take you there. If you're taking on your adventure in a new 2024 Nissan Rogue, class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue. Nissan's SUV has the capabilities to take you where you want to go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.